This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
7:49, Thursday, 11th of August, and of course you're listening to The Morning Run. Now, last month, the political landscape in Malaysia achieved a milestone with the passing of the anti-hopping bill in Dewan Rakyat, which aimed, of course, to ensure political stability and prevent the country from undergoing a never-ending state of political crisis. But now civil organisations and think tanks are calling for the government to seriously look into a political funding bill.
And this is something that's been going on for 12 years. But good news is that in May, Prime Minister Dato' Sri Ismail Sabri...
Wrong Prime Minister,
had agreed in principle the bill would regulate political financing to avoid the risk of corruption and abuse of power by politicians. With GE15 drawing closer, there seems to be a lack of political will in pushing through this bill. It rhymes. For some thoughts on this, we have with us Tricia Yeo, the CEO of Ideas.
Now, Ideas is, of course, part of the all-party parliamentary group on political financing, which aims to draw attention to this bill. Good morning, Tricia. Let's start with this bill. What's the purpose of it and how can it help to ensure a more transparent state of politics in this country?
So the purpose of the political funding bill is to ensure that, number one, the principle of transparency is adhered to, where there's going to be a condition of transparent disclosure of both donations into political parties as well as how the parties use that money. So what's their expenditure looking like as well? The ultimate goal is to ensure that, you know, political corruption is reduced. If we see, for example, the way that the anti-party hopping law was a reaction against what has happened in the Sheraton move, you see that there has not been any reaction to the whole 1MDB case, where something like that can equally come about again if we're not careful. So in a way, the urgency of having a political funding bill is to address the systemic weaknesses of how parties are funded. And essentially, at the moment, there is no law, there is no regulation that determines what is legal or illegal. So what's permitted or not, as far as the funding of parties is concerned.
But Tricia, why is political financing a big concern for Malaysia?
Why this is a concern is for several reasons. I think we know that parties require funding. We know that parties require monies to operate because they need to pay people, they need to cover their office expenses and so on and so forth. But the way it is funded has led to a lot of possibly dubious conflict of interest practices, right? The dependency that parties have on corporate donations, for example, that's unhealthy. And so the bill actually allows for any sorts of both individual and corporate donations, but just puts a limit to it. So there's a cap on how much donations can be provided for. Just for a little bit of context, in case the listeners are not aware, this is not a government bill. So the government bill version we have not seen yet. When I refer to the bill, I'm referring to a private member's bill version, which was submitted to Parliament by YB Ahmad Fadli, the chair of the All-Party Parliamentary Group on Political Financing. This APPG has 9 members of different political parties, 9 MPs and 1 senator. We were just hoping that the release of this bill would spark some discussion and debate and also hopefully compel the federal government, who wants to do a political funding act, to perhaps compare and contrast between the various versions and quickly try to expedite this and table it in Parliament before GE15.
So, Tricia, what needs to be included in the government's version of the bill to ensure that it is effective in its purpose then?
So first, we think that only political parties should receive donations. The money should not be funneled to individual politicians' accounts. So that happens a lot today. And so there are multiple bank accounts, and therefore it's really difficult to keep track of. The recommendation here is that it flows through an official party account. Number two, to allow for the very interesting phenomenon in Malaysia where, you know, donations are also given during the ceramahs, right? So fundraising events can be one source of funding. So provided that the parties provide and furnish the necessary documentation or records of receipts to this independent commission that we are suggesting to be formed. And what we've put forward is that a single person cannot donate more than 1,000 ringgit at one particular fundraising event or political talk. We think funding caps is really important because this allows the whole conflict of interest thing to be avoided. So in this case, we've put forward 50,000 ringgit from an individual donor in one financial year and 100,000 ringgit from one specific company and 500,000 ringgit from a group of companies. We're not saying that private donations are not permitted. We're not saying that companies are not allowed to donate, but putting a funding cap is essential to ensure that, you know, we don't have this sort of unwieldy influence from one specific company or a specific group of companies. Another big thing is really important is that we suggest to prohibit political contributions from government-linked companies, GLCs, as well as federal and state statutory bodies, as well as some foundations which we know to be politically linked or formed for such a purpose for political funding. I want to really emphasize something that's really important, which is called public funding. So we recommend that a political party fund is established and as much as 130 million ringgit would be distributed to the political parties based on the percentage of votes that each party is able to acquire. So not based on the number of seats in parliament or the percentage of seats, but based on the percentage of votes. And in addition to that, the 10 million ringgit of the 130 million ringgit would be distributed to parties based on the number of women elected representatives. So this actually allows us to encourage women members of parliament like participating in the political system.
Why is this public financing aspect important? Why 130 million ringgit?
It's basically a figure that was taken by Bursay. So Bursay wrote a paper on public funding, which we've adopted the formula of. And this is a median of the last 10 years of the federal budget and then just multiplied by 0.05%. So it's a very small number, but sufficient, we believe, to start off the idea of public funding and public funding to eventually reduce the dependency that parties have on corporate donations. And then there'll be a benchmark as well, right? So if you don't get like more than 2% of the total electoral votes in a particular election, then you don't qualify to get any money at all.
Now, a few months back, Prime Minister Dato Sri Ismail Sabri said that the government had agreed in principle to the drafting of this political funding bill. Can you give us an update in terms of the progress made with regards to it and where are we now in terms of the timeline?
We've been writing to the Law Minister, Dato Sri Wan Junaidi, and we're hoping to secure a meeting with him soon to understand the stage at which this bill is. I think, to be fair, the government had been focusing on the anti-party hopping law, and there are several pieces of legislation, right, that are coming into place. So I don't think that despite the Prime Minister saying that in principle this has been agreed on, I don't think there's been much movement on it. What we really want to know is there a draft? Because we know that the previous version of a draft was from the Pakatan Harapan administration. So I guess the question really is the current government drafting a new version or are they making use of the previous version? And if so, like, were there any changes or amendments provided? So bear in mind that the Pakatan Harapan administration already did consultations with the parties. We don't know where we are now. I do think that there probably is a version. Where that version is at the moment is unclear. And this is why the APPG again has come up with this draft bill to try and urge and agitate for this public discussion to happen.
So, Tricia, how imperative is that this bill is passed before GE15 and where are you seeing the resistance?
I think the resistance would come from probably senior leadership within major parties that feel constrained by such a law, especially as the election is coming about. And it will be a cultural departure from anything that these parties have ever known in terms of how they've funded their parties all these years. But I think the public funding portion really needs to come out, meaning that parties need to be aware that civil society is actually supporting having state funding for parties. So if they see that there is an element of you know, incentive for them, hopefully this is where they can come together in a bipartisan and multipartisan way, which has happened multiple times over the last year, in the form of the MOU, in the form of the anti-party hopping law. So it is possible for them to do things swiftly should they want it to happen. Again, this requires, you know, like the voice of the many from the ground to say that we demand something like that, because as the economy is struggling at the moment, you know, post-pandemic with the Russia-Ukraine war, with inflation and so on, like, can the country really afford to have an election that is going to be so much money flowing into an election at a time when people are actually suffering to put food on the table? So I think that should be incentive enough for both the rakyat as well as the politicians to see that this cannot go on. The amount of money that's pumped into any election, not just from the election commission and the government, but just from the party side and the campaign.
All right, thank you for your time. That was Tricia Yeo, CEO of Ideas, telling us the importance of this political funding bill. But as GE15 is just literally around the corner, can it be done in time? Parliament is in recess now, right? It's only coming back to sit in October, am I correct?
Yeah, I sat in on this on this press conference, and it was disclosed that the idea for a political funding bill was mooted 12 years ago. In 10, 12 years ago.
Just like the sexual harassment bill, for example. So these things take a long time.
Yeah, but I mean, it really is something that's needed, because, I mean, I picked up on the need that there should be a cap on political donations, and that these donations also must go into a political party's account rather than a party member, even if it's the party's president receiving money from Saudi Arabia, for example.
Or anywhere else, right, for that matter. There needs to be, I think, a transparent system to ensure fairer democracy for all. But up next, we've got the Breakfast Grill, where I speak to Kani Vignaraja, Assistant Secretary General and Director of the Regional Bureau for Asia and Pacific of the UNDP. That's happening after the 8 a.m. news bulletin. Keep it here, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.